It's Friday morning. Thanks for tuning in today. It's 14 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Well, we have two characters looking at us here.
I know. Time to talk houses and home ownership. On the House with Jesse Davis, the local real estate agent. Thanks for coming in. Introduce us to your guest, esteemed guest here.
Well, I think before I do that, I'm going to introduce you to the newest fragrance from John Bauer.
What is
that? Light and variable winds.
Yeah, just a poof.
It'd be just like a little mist, body mist.
Hit it and walk through it.
Yeah. It's you've tried Axe. Now try Light and Variable Winds. The new fragrance
it means
from
none.
John Bauer.
It means none.
It means none. Yeah, that would be the bottom statement. It means none.
I digress. Thank you guys for tuning in. You know, once a month we talk real estate here and we bring in folks, whether we're talking about septic, we're talking about paint, whether we're talking about property values. And today we're talking about shoreland and the things that shoreland owners in the greater Itasca area can do to protect the waters. And whether that's, you know, looking at a purely pragmatic, we want to protect our investment in our property, or we really care about the quality of our waters, we have some great opportunities to connect those lakeshore owners to some folks that can really give them a lot of good coaching tips, what to grow, what not to do, what to do. And we've got David Lick, who is the president of Itasca Waters. And this is a nonprofit group that exists to keep our probably most valuable natural resource here in Itasca County rocking and rolling. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me in, Jesse and John and Heidi. It's nice to be here, and it's going to be even nicer to get on a bike in a little while and go for a ride bike.
Well, rub it in, because I'm working in front of a computer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, same here.
I've been there.
Hey, Dave, do people, you've been working to talk about and, you know, in the world of water for a while. I know this is important to you. Are people starting to realize what a resource we have here, do you think?
Well, Heidi, you're talking to a guy that lived and was born and raised in southern Minnesota down in ag country and then came up to northern Minnesota and kind of never left. So I guess the major reason why I became involved in this is, number one, I went to school as a biologist, chemist kind of a person and ended up in a classroom for a while. And then migrated from teaching into the business world, of which I never thought I would end up in. But to get to the point of this is that southern Minnesota water quality is to the point where it's unswimmable, pretty much unusable. And now it's getting to the point where if your dog takes a lap of it, the blue-green algae could make them sick. So the evolvement of the process to eutrophy water has taken place by removing all the vegetation down there and making it strictly agriculture. So as you well know, we don't live in a real agricultural area, but we live on the golden goose of economic development when it comes to water in Itasca County. I mean, people come here to enjoy the water resources that we have, and we're seeing those water resources maintain their quality right now. There's some changes that take place, but right now they're maintaining it. But our emphasis is for local people who live here to make sure that they're doing everything they can to keep the water quality the way it is and not to see it go backwards. And in order to do that, we need to pay real close attention to what we do at that shoreland area. Root systems are extremely important. And of course, southern Minnesota's trees have been removed. A lot of the prairie vegetation that used to bring that water and clean that water is now gone, and we're planting annual crops, which certainly we need because we got to eat. But yet at the same time, it's extremely intensified farming. So lots of that nutrient ends up in the waterway, and then what we need to do is we need to keep that nutrient out of these lakes because that's what damages the water quality and literally makes them grow.
And I would, you know, point out that, you know, I work in small ag, but I certainly work with big ag, and you've got that kind of, which side do you fall on when it's more of a gray area, because we do all have to eat. But you're right about that golden goose. I mean, the biggest agricultural thing that we grow in Itasca County is hay. You know, we're not growing corn and soybeans, and so we have a wonderful opportunity to do things to keep our shoreline and our waters and our streams and our lakes clean, and it's not that difficult. And I think that's what this program that we're kind of rolling out this summer, and then we'll be getting folks signed up for kind of these coaching or advisor sessions next summer as well, it's not rocket science how to kind of keep these things going, and we're lucky. And I've seen this in folks coming up to Itasca County. A lot of times when folks are coming from the Twin Cities, they're looking out at Detroit Lakes, Alexandria, and Brainerd, and then, oh, well, okay, we're not finding what I want. Let's look at Itasca County. Now we're getting folks that are coming directly to Itasca County because our waters are not impacted like those other, you know, quote unquote premier lake communities that are a little bit closer to the Twin Cities. So,
and I think, Jesse, the reality is that if you did a survey of 10 people and asked them about clean water, seldom would you ever hear anybody say that they don't like it and want clean water.
Right.
The difficulty is making sure that they understand best management practices so that they can really, really do the best job possible to keep that nutrient from going into the lake. Many people think that a root system is a green lawn. Well, folks, a green lawn has very small root system. What you have to think about is some of that natural vegetation that originally grew there before the place was developed. And I want to be careful here, because this is not something that has to be extreme at all. We're not asking people to take away their entire beaches. What we're doing is asking them, and we will be asking them with these shoreland advisors that have their community people from throughout the county that have come forward and said, hey, look, you know, I want to help with that program. And we've been really looking for people that are from all walks of life. We don't want just experts that are scientists, people that know the genus and species of every native plant. We want the regular person who lives on the lake, that enjoys the county, that enjoys the ambiance and the tranquility of a wonderful place to live. So what we've done is we've recruited people from all walks of life. We've got insurance agents that are going to be these shoreland advisors. We've got some teachers. We've got some contractors. We've got an electrician. We've got some septic pumper people that are involved in it. I mean, it's a big group of people. And the way that you would access this, if you want to have one of these people come in, is you would go to our website, which is itascawaters.org, and then there's a button on there, and you can request the services of a shoreland advisor. And again, these people have been recruited from throughout the community. And I want to make one comment about it. It's really nice to see a group of younger people doing this. Usually when we're trying to recruit volunteers, it's all people my age. And we've been really lucky to be able to recruit some people that are, you know, considerably under 60 years old, and I would say even under 40 years old. So if you take a look at the list of people that are listed on our website and you're interested in having one of those people come out, we'd be more than happy to get that arranged for you.
So, Dave, when you're talking about shoreline vegetation, are you talking both on land and possibly in water?
Yeah, when we talk about shoreland, John, we're breaking it up into 5 sections. We've published a shoreland guide that people can find on our website, and we also have a hard copy that we have lots of copies of it.
It's here at the radio station, and it's actually a really nice comprehensive guide. And it, again, like David says, not science wonky. You know, it's very accessible.
What are the 5?
The 5 are buffers, the littoral zone, which is the area of water out in front of the person's lot, okay? Erosion, forestry, and septic systems. Those are the five things that we concentrate on what people can do. Like if one of these advisors comes to your place, you might have a green lawn all the way down to the lake. They might suggest to you that, number one, you might want to put some rain barrels. Catch some water before it flows directly towards down the hill and into the lake, catching the nutrients and dropping them in the lake. They might talk to you about maybe not mowing right close to the lake. Bear in mind that it saves you time. And, you know, if you get really up about this, you might want to plant some native vegetation that are pollinator plants that bloom all summer long that the butterflies will enjoy. Again, you know, it's not something where you have to take your entire beach away. That's not what we're saying. What we're asking you to do is, we have a lot of forested area in this county because we have a lot of public land, but the rule of thumb is, in order to maintain sustainability of this fresh, wonderful water into the future for the next generations, we have to maintain a 75% forested area around these watersheds. There's six of them in this county. And what we're really looking to do now is, we've got that because we've got a lot of public land with a lot of forested land on it. Doesn't mean you can't log it, because that root system remains there and it comes back. It's a renewable kind of a resource. But the fact of the matter is those roots grab all that nutrient and they make wood and they make leaves and they make flowers out of it. So now what we're going to concentrate on is on these small spots along these lakes where people can do the best possible thing by growing vegetation. And you know, it's going to save you time. You're not going to end up mowing. And it's certainly not unsightly. I wonder about this many times is, when I walk down to a lake, I like to see shaded areas where, and not a total beach area. I don't sit on the beach all of the time. And again, the water quality is going to depend on how we take care of that shoreland area.
So what happens when you have a piece of land that has a lot of invasive species and you're told to remove invasive species, whether it's buckthorn or some of the weeds and things that you see out there that are right next to the water? What do you do with that?
John, here's what I would suggest to people. I'm a tree planter. I mean, I own some acreage and I plant a lot of trees. And the root systems on trees will outcompete buckthorn if indeed you remove the buckthorn. Mm-hmm. And then what you could conceivably do is, you could plant some cedar trees if it's down near the shoreline, because it's a damp area and they're shade tolerant trees. This is where the forestry part of our strategy comes from. And then as that tree matures and grows, you can trim the branches up so it doesn't take your sight line away. You can still see the lake and use the lake, but that invisible root system is the dynamic part of this cleansing process that keeps any of the nutrients from the septic systems that are coming out. Soil has regular phosphorus in it. I mean, it's naturally there. But when we get big rains, we don't want that leaching into the watersheds. So by producing those kinds of plants, removing the buckthorn, go ahead and take the invasives out. But then remove and put in something, again, that can exist there. And these shoreland advisors can help with that kind of a process.
Well, and I think that just the, you know, a lot of times folks buy this lakeshore, they want to do the right thing, mm-hmm. but they don't know the first steps. Mm-hmm. And if you know what you're doing, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh yeah, those are native pollinators, they're not just some stupid weeds. Oh, that scraggly looking tree, actually, I want that there because this is what it's doing. Once you understand what those things are doing, they're actually a lot more beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so just for folks that want to kind of understand the very grassroots ecology of what's going on in their shoreland, this is a, you know, a great opportunity. And it, again, really simple, itascawaters.org. And folks can, you know, they don't even need to sign up. They can just learn a little bit about, you know, what's there. And again, this is lay people. This isn't government folks that are going to come and tell you you're wrong and you're doing bad stuff. It's the same thing we do with the Farmers Market Association. You know, we have people that want to start up a business. They're making pies or they're making pickles. Well, maybe they're using grandma's recipe and it doesn't have quite the right pH. We don't want to turn them into the Department of Ag or the Department of Health. We want to give them the right information. And it's kind of the same thing with these shoreland advisors. Maybe they're doing something, or they've inherited a property where they've been doing things that maybe aren't the best for the water. And we want just, you know, casual local lay people to say, hey, Here's some steps to take, and here's why.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to On the House. It's the Friday morning show. Dave, let's talk septic. It seems like septic is, for a lot of homeowners, you're not paying attention until you have trouble.
Exactly.
Well, I would say this. Septic systems, if they're installed correctly and they're compliant systems, and there's definitions of that from any of the people that install them and also through the state, they do the best job there is of removing nutrient from waste. Now, the point of this is that when people think that when they flush the toilet, everything is wonderful and their septic is totally compliant because the toilet flushes, that is a fallacy. The reality is this. There are certain ways that those septic systems, and Jesse has addressed this on other programs and other people have talked about it on the radio station and numerous radio stations, but they need to be looked at from time to time. And they need to be pumped because by pumping them, the waste is removed, taken over to the sewage disposal plant and treated through the city system. But what I was trying to say when I first started yakking, and sometimes I ramble on, but...
Oh, no. No.
Yeah. The reality is this. When you have a compliant, well-functioning septic system, the phosphorus and the nitrogen are pretty much removed so that it doesn't end up in the watershed or in the aquifer. So it does a really good job of doing that. And there's ways of taking care of those septic systems that make sure that they last long into the years that you use them. But I think what happens is people put them in and they kind of think they can forget about it, and that's not the case. So we have help with some of those things. We've put on seminars on septic systems, and I think some of the lake associations are drawing some parallels with septic systems now, and we're working with the county on getting some, you know, no interest loan money to be brought into the county also.
So if someone had a bad system and it's cost a lot to fix it, they could possibly get some assistance if it was done wrong or is just
aged. In the midst of working on right now, okay. John. And that's coming from a guy up on Deer Lake that's been really instrumental, who's been in the place. John Davis has been really good at trying to get that done right now.
Can we go back to the south? Because I'm really intrigued by this. You say the water's just horrible. At what point did they know this was happening? And what could they have done differently, and how would that have affected all of us?
Well, John, you got to remember now you got the two main rivers down there. They're 10th order streams, the Mississippi and the Minnesota River, okay?
Yep.
Minnesota River cuts across the state on the southwest part, starts on the South Dakota border and crisscrosses and empties into the Mississippi and St. Paul, okay? So what happened when development began back in the 1860s is people started to farm the land. So what was there prior? It was prairie grass with huge, huge root systems and lots of forested area. I mean, the southern part of the state hasn't always been denuded of forests. I mean, it's been a forested area. It's a natural way of how land sustains vegetation. So what happened is people came in and they started taking those things down, and then they started to plant, and then they had to fertilize because they didn't rotate the crops and things like that. And then what happened is you no longer had that root system to take in that nutrient that was already in the soil, so that got dumped into those creeks and streams, and then it rolls into the Mississippi, and that's why we've got a dead delta these days. Now, I'm not blaming farmers. My father was an FFA teacher, for goodness sakes. But the reality of it is that it was done somewhat haphazardly. Now what they've done is the duck sloughs that I used to hunt, they're all tiled and drained so that they can farm that additional area, and that's marginal soils. If we went back to a situation where some of those were plugged up and that water could come back, it holds it, and then it's not discharged into the waterways quite so quickly, and some of that nutrient can be used up by the vegetation that grows on that soil.
But what you've seen, though, is that, you know, farmers and pretty much any red-blooded American or cold-blooded American or any American doesn't really want to be told what to do. And right. So you had with Dayton making some of these buffer zones. I mean, that was incredibly contentious in the ag community, and really not because the farmers didn't agree with a lot of the tenets of that, but that you're telling me what to do mm-hmm. with my land. And mm-hmm. so it that's
but it's I tough mean, stuff.
And then in a small way, that's kind of similar to what we're trying to tackle up here. You know, folks have paid an arm and a leg for a beautiful piece of lakeshore property. And then you've got folks who really care about an entire watershed up here saying, well, you can't do this, or you really need to do this. And so this Shoreland Advisor Program is kind of trying to bridge that gap on an individual level, on a non-governmental level, just saying, hey, you care about your water. You know, even if you don't care about the whole lake, don't you care about your property value? So, I mean, sometimes it's on that right. dollars and cents sort of thing. But it's tough in a larger sense when you're talking about an entire watershed, you know, that Minnesota or, you know, the Red River watershed. And you've got ag folks that depend on growing, you know, maximum amount of crops and acres. And you know, it can be really, really tough there. And we don't have that kind of pressure here because of the ag. So I think we've got some great opportunities here to really educate people and keep our waters pure.
The best way to approach this, you guys, is people help themselves. Yeah. I mean, give them the information, and they usually do the right thing.
Yep.
That's the key.
Now, I don't know that we know the answer to this, but do you know if there's anything going on like this in Beltrami County? Is there any counterpart to it? And if we don't know, I want to put that out to our listeners as well, too.
Well, here's the thing. Karen Terry, who's from the University of Minnesota Ag Extension, I contacted her back in October, and I asked her if she would do the educating of these Shoreland Advisors. And she said, oh, this sounds like an interesting program. I said, well, you know, you'd have to come up from Fergus Falls or University of Minnesota Morris, where you live. She said, you know, this sounds like something a little bit out of the box. I want to be involved in it. So she came up and did the trainings for some of these people that wanted additional information at the end of May and early June. We did some demo site things. And by the way, before I forget, I'd really like any listener that thinks they have a demo site for us that we could send people to look at what a vegetated shoreland looks like, you know, let us know at our website, because that would be really helpful to us to be able to have people, neighbors, say, oh, go over and see John Doe. He's done this over there, and see if you like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, I mean, what we're really trying to do is soft sell this thing. I mean, we want the lay people to spread the information, and we have a lot of people who are taking part in this that have really never done anything with water quality before, but they do understand the necessity to maintain the tranquility and the ambiance and the pristineness of what we have here. And
so I got one more last question is, this all talks about education. We're talking about educating adults. What are we doing in schools?
Well, we just got done with the 8th annual 5th grade youth water summit at the fairgrounds in May, John, and we had 450 students there.
Nice.
With 45 stations of water science, and it goes from shorelands, it goes to aquatic invertebrates, it goes to aquatic vegetation, hydrology, surface tension, lake turnover, aquatic invasive species, reptiles. I mean, these students that come to this, again, you know, this is one of those things that Itasca Waters has done for the last 8 years, and we've really decided that we really need to get to the kids.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the people our age who have lived through this whole thing really didn't put up any stop signs on some of the stuff that's happened. So hopefully what we can do is convince some of these younger people that they really need to pay attention if they want to be able to walk in their water and see their toes.
Well, it's the same thing when you're talking about recycling or wearing seat belts. I mean, kids actually can be like, Dad, why are you mowing all the way to the beach?
Exactly.
Don't you know that's wrong?
Yeah. Yeah.
And these kids are, yeah, they're so fascinated, and their brains are just like sponges. So yeah, there's definitely things that are happening to engage these kids with water. And of course, what's the first thing when I'm selling a house to someone in their mid-60s? They're coming up here to retire. Oh, I want a nice beach for the grandkids.
Do you two need to work together? Do realtors need to work together with your organization? So like when you're selling a lot and you come in and see it's like trashed or vice versa?
We've got Shoreland Advisor books at my office, and absolutely.
Well, it sort of ensures you have a continued job if you care about this. Am I right? Because people are not going to want to be moving here
if their chocolate lab is going to go go chasing the tennis ball and then come back sick from the blue algae. So,
and you got to keep in mind that I think this is a little different lake culture than what, you know, the Brainerd areas are. I mean, it's somewhat different. I mean, I live north of town, and I see people paying pretty close attention to a lot of these things. So, you know, it's not something that we're not already doing, and it's not something that the governmental agencies haven't been helping with. But what it is it's a nonprofit organization like ourselves right now that are really going to try to concentrate on it. So you're going to hear a lot about it in the next while with public service announcements and pleadings for people to, you know, take advantage of having a Shoreland Advisor come up and see them. And we have people pretty much throughout the geographical county area that we can call to have come and see you. So if you're interested in that, or if you want to be a Shoreland Advisor, we're more than happy to visit with you about that too.
And if you're outside of the Itasca area, it sounds like, I mean, that's part of the beauty of what community radio, what KEXE, KBEXE can do. There's good ideas going on. It may not be in your area, but that might be the nugget that gets you started on this path as well.
Good point. Mushrooming across the north.
That's right.
That's what we want. It's not only in our backyard. It's everywhere. If we can get this going, it stimulates lots of things. I mean, it provides a way that people can do the best thing possible for where they live. So
there you go.
Like Dave said, this is just the beginning of the conversation. We plan to do more on clean water in this program. Jesse Davis on the house. And again, the website, Dave?
ItascaWaters.org.
All right. Sounds great.
That's Dave Lick. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, you guys.